Now, this morning, we want to touch what topic? We want to touch what topic?
Antichrist.
What is the Antichrist? Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there's clarity this morning as the truth of God's word is heard and learned and taught. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Now, we're starting a series this morning. We'll give it a title maybe afterwards. But it's about the Antichrist. Stay Antichrist. Say Antichrist. And the reason for this series is because there is a need to bring correction to certain ideologies we've learned over the years regarding the Antichrist. Are we together? You know, we're in a generation right now where, for instance, the COVID vaccine is considered to be the what? Antichrist, the mark of the beast. You know, so I want to examine God's word a little about those conversations. What exactly is Antichrist? What exactly is the Antichrist? Now, if you are a computer programmer and you are developing a software that you will call an antivirus, one of the things you need to pay attention to first is to study the what? The virus. Are you here? I'll say that again. If you're going to be a programmer or you're a programmer that develops a software that is an antivirus, maybe say, let's say Kaspersky, or you have McAfee, or you have one of those antiviruses, right? If you are one that wants to develop an antivirus system, you need to have studied the what? The virus. So you cannot know the Antichrist without knowing Christ. Are you here? Say, let's say that. Say, I cannot. Say, I cannot understand the Antichrist without understanding Christ. Now, as a local church, God's Palace, we are giving, or we've been giving ourselves to the study of the person of Christ, because we know that our Christian faith is hinged around that knowledge. Altogether, our Christian faith is hinged around that knowledge. So we are giving ourselves yet more and more to the study of Christ. But whilst we study Christ, we will pay attention to the teaching of what? The Antichrist. So in the real sense, this will be a teaching that will expose your heart yet more to the teachings of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, we grew up in an environment where a lot of us knew more about the Antichrist than Christ. I hope you know. We grew up in an environment where, you know, when you get born again, the first thing they are telling you about is Antichrist. It's interesting to know for a lot of people. Right? So the Antichrist, you know. So, one, examine God's word. Is the Antichrist a person? Is the Antichrist a man? I know some of you look forward to that man, right? The man with what? Big horns. Like a beast. You know, one of the greatest wars on the earth is the war of ignorance, or against ignorance. Are you here? Are you with me? Are you with me right now? One of the greatest wars on the earth is the war of ignorance. That is why the greatest battle on earth is in the heart of a man. Are we together? That's the greatest battle on earth. It is in the heart of men. So why do we as a church keep repeating the same thing? Because it's possible, because of the influence of the world, to forget the same thing you hear every day. Are we together? So we want to do a study on the Antichrist. I want to see what God's word says about the Antichrist. Now let me give you a heads up. There is only one author in the entire scriptures that uses the word Antichrist. Only one. Please heads up. There's only one author in the entire Bible from Genesis to Malachi that uses the word Antichristos, Antichrist. And the name of that man is who? John. So we need to understand John's knowledge about Christ. So let's assume that John is the programmer that is designing a software for antivirus. Are we together? It means we need to understand John's understanding of Christ. Then we will now begin to understand his use of the what? The Antichrist. You see, Bible study is one of the most important parts of every gathering of believers. Because it is in Bible study you get to unlearn and learn and relearn. was talking with a couple of people a few weeks ago, and I said, this particular person doesn't believe in eternal salvation. Yeah. You know, we can all shout eternal salvation, and we don't all believe in it. I can tell you, oh, I believe in eternal salvation, that when a man is saved. But if I hear you in a few more weeks talk about a vaccine that will make a believer not to be saved again, you never believe in eternal salvation. Because the word eternal means something that is everlasting, lasting forever. It surpasses time. It has no boundary. You know, it goes further to show you that a lot of believers don't believe John 3:16. But most believers can quote John 3:16. Let's go together. John 3:16, 1, 2, 3, go. For God, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. If that scripture had ended in perish, you can say, oh, when you mean perish, the word there perish is the word that means up until a time. But it says shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The everlasting life of John 3:16 is the life that, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 91 speaks about. It says, with long life will I what? Satisfy thee and show thee my what? Salvation. So the long life of Psalm 91 is not your days on the air. Are we together? With long life will I satisfy thee. The next line tells you, and show thee myself. So the life that is being, or that will satisfy a man, comes with the gift of what? Salvation. And show thee myself. So John 3:16 now says, for God so loved the world, or God in such a manner loved the world, in that he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So what is God's word about the Antichrist? Or how did John teach about the Antichrist? Are you with your Bibles this morning? Turn with me quickly to Matthew 16. Matthew 16:13. Are you Matthew 16:13?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 16:13. Let's read together. Matthew 16:13. 1, 2, 3, go. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, 1, 2, 3, go. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and he said what? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou what? Simon what? Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. Verse 18 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we started talking about how a lot of us grew up understanding that Jesus is building his church upon who? Peter. Because the word there, Peter, has something to do with the rock and all of that. So we said Jesus is saying that upon Peter, he will build his church. No, 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 no. The church of Jesus Christ is built on Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Acts 4:9-11, Psalm 118, right? Verse 18 downwards 22, thereabouts, right? You see, the book of Acts chapter 2 also talk about Jesus Christ as the one who the prophet spoke about. So Jesus is the foundation of the church. See, Jesus is the foundation of his church. So what did he mean by thou art Peter, right? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, it will interest you to know that when Jesus made this conversation or this statement, there was a particular place he was standing or he was at that influenced this conversation. We'll look at that in days to come. Are we together? He was somewhere when he speaks about the gates of Hades or gates of hell, and that influenced his conversation about how he will build his church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. So the question is, what did he mean? Now remember, what did Peter say? Peter said, thou art what? Thou art what? What verse is that again? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the... What's the word there, Christ? The word there, Christ, is the Greek word what? Christos. Yeah, in Christ that is still fresh in your mind, right? So the word there Christ is the word there Christos. So what did Peter say unto him? He says, thou art Christos, or thou art the Christos. Are we together? Right? The Son of the Living God. Now, you know, we've done a series on the woman in Christ, right? The word son in the Bible is not a male figure. Are we together? The word son in the Bible is not a male figure. Now, let me say it better. Not always used for a male figure. Put together. That's why there's no point as believers, when, you know, sometimes when you are in church and maybe the pastor says, say, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Some of you women that are fighting feminists, say, no, I'm a daughter of God. Oga, the word dear son is just a word that means someone that has an inheritance. Are we together? So are you not someone that has an inheritance as a woman? You are now. So don't begin to use all this worldly view to approach God's word to begin to make a point. We've done an extensive teaching. You know, interestingly, you know, I put out that teaching recently, right? Was it recently? That I shared it on my status and all of that on Facebook. It's interesting to know that this is one of the teachings I've had the most people reach out to me for. Interestingly. Both Instagram, in fact, there was this lady who reached out to me on Facebook. She entered the site, wasn't downloading. Someone I didn't even know she was following me. Entered, Pastor, I downloaded. She's not downloading. After she tried. Well, I had to now go and download it on my phone and give her a unique link to download it. Say, okay, take it. But it's interesting to see that. That's one of the teachings that God's Palace has had the most people being interested. And it was interesting to me because it was just clear that a lot of us as believers don't know the place of the gender in the resurrection. Now, we said something in that teacher. We said the primary reason for male and female is for what? Procreation and reproduction. God did not create the woman as an afterthought or as someone who will be of a lesser value or lesser authority in the resurrection. Are we together? So if you know me very well, I will coin gospel into any what topic. So anybody who listens to the 5-6 tract on the woman in Christ, there's no how other things will not shake your head. There's no how you will not be exposed to God's word. Right? So the fight of the woman in Christ is not a fight to make the woman more superior or the man less superior or the man more superior. No, it's to show the equality found in the gospel. Are we together? So it's important that we give ourselves to Bible study, else we will be people who will be ignorant in the things of God. It doesn't look good on you not to know about your father. Are you here? It doesn't look good. You know, ignorance doesn't look good on the believer. It doesn't. Think about it. There are some things you know that people around you don't know. How do you look at those people that don't know? Think about yourself. Talk for yourself. How don't you know that the blood of Jesus is not for main road? You know, I was talking with a friend recently over the week. I think a pastor friend. You know, he was telling me about how he has a lot of his friends who have left Nigeria and they are now atheists. Hey? I think one of his sister-in-law, somebody was even talking to. And then he asked the pastor, how's your Christian life? He said, that was in the past. He gave a word. He said, Christianity is history. I can't remember the exact phrase he used. Why? Because they told you in Nigeria that Christianity is for job. Is for car, is for house. So what do? You come to church with a mindset of what you want to get. And if you're in a church where you don't get a lot, what do? You part. Are we together? Let me tell you for free, 90% of what we pray for as a church in Nigeria will not be valid when you leave the shores of Nigeria. I'm not telling you what they told me. Are you here? I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm telling you what I know. Close to 90% of the things that we think are associated with Christ, when you leave the shores of this country, you can prove to a believer in Nigeria that there is no God. And you will be fine. Why? Because we use God for so many things. That is why a lot of times when we come to the church as Christians, we ought to pray as the apostles prayed. Let me tell you, there is no time in your life you will not have a challenge. Even the richest man in the world has a challenge. The difference in challenges is your own challenge. is your own challenge how to get from here to the bus stop, or is your own challenge how to disperse your money across investment? It's not still a challenge. So he was telling me a lot of people left Nigeria and you know, Christianity is past their 80s. Why? You want to travel from here to small Kogi? You finish the whole of Jesus' blood on the road. Kota. Now it's blotter. You've poured his blood all over the road. It has finished. It's not even passed Mana Kogi. And funny thing, you will not pack it back. When you get there, it's a safe journey. Are we together? If you get to a working environment where to transport is easy, the boss tells you to be here by 10:50. If you are there by 10:50, 10:51, you will be seeing the boss going like this, you will be running. If they tell you that, you need to come for this thing by this time, you will be there. If they tell you that you need to do this, if they tell you your minimum wage is this, you will do everything to collect it. So why are you praying to God? That is why you ought to have a proper understanding of God's word, because it's what will take you through the storm of life. And let me tell you for free, you can continue that mindset of God's word within the shores of Nigeria. Are we together? Are we here? Why am I saying this to you? You ought to give yourself yet more and more to God's word, to Bible study. I saw a video of some elders in one village. They were laying hands on the transformer. Have you seen that video? There was no light in their apartment for a while. And the elders came out together, started laying hands on. They say, all the work of Satan on this transformer. The work of Satan on the transformer is an irresponsible government in the state house. That's the work of Satan. Remember Satan as opposition? You got it. Are we together? You are going home. All of us will experience, all of us from here to here. When you are going home today now, when you approach your street, you'll be looking at Bob. Where is Bob? You'll be looking at Bob to be saying if there's light in your environment. Once you just approach, hey, this one, maybe they've bobbed their own. When you get to your house right now, the first thing you do, when you open the door, you face people like this. You do pa, you on the light. Pa, everywhere is dark. All of us here will experience it this afternoon. I heard of a man who, after living all his life, a Nigerian who lived all his life, he grew up, born in the UK, grew up in the UK, came to Nigeria. And he came to Nigeria, they took light. He said he's blind. He didn't get it. He said, I can't see. I said, I'm blind though. Why? Because, can you imagine? Can you imagine the basic things? Now, interestingly, the basic things of life is what our politicians are using towards campaign. I will do your road. You will have more light, more water, H2O. So, I'm saying this carefully and deliberately. Expose your heart to God's word. Else, somebody else will come and tell you tomorrow with your eternal salvation knowledge and tell you that the what did they put inside your body? Syringe, vaccine. Abi? Vaccine is the mark of the beast. Wait. The thing inside the syringe before they gave you, was it liquid or solid? So the mark is liquid. Oh, you didn't get that? Or the mark will first be liquid. Then when they enter your body, it translates to solid. And it will not stop moving around your body until you get to your heart. Until it starts showing your forehead. So a lot of us are well aware of the Antichrist and know nothing or little about Christ. So Jesus says, who do people say I am? They said Elias, they said Jeremiah. Then he said, who do you say that I am? He says, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Christos, the Son of the living God. Are we together? So it means that in Bible study, we ought to pay attention to what is said per time. Now, what did Peter have as his Bible at the time? Genesis. Remember, I hope you know, Peter did not have the ability to quote Ephesians. He could not quote Colossians. He had nothing to do with Galatians, because Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, they were all written after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Are we together? And Peter also could not quote Matthew 16, because the book of Matthew was written after Jesus had died and what? Resurrected. In fact, after the disciples had attended Jesus' 40 days teaching. So when it comes to Bible study, we need to understand. So what did Peter mean by thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Look at John 1. Let me do a quick study on something before we come back here. Look at John 1, 17. We started this on In Christ a Day. John 1, 17. Now remember we said that the word law is not a word that is absolute for what? Ten commandments or do's and don'ts. But we said the word law is from the Greek word nomos, and it's a word that speaks about the writings or the doctrine. Do you remember that? The writings or the look at John 1, 17. Are you there? For the law was given by who? Law was given by? But grace and truth came by who? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, where is John writing from? John is writing from the writings of the prophets and Moses. So see one of the places you can see this from. Look at Exodus 33 or 34, 6. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. Are you there? Are we going to? Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and what? Truth. Abundant in goodness and truth. So Moses knew that the Lord God was one who was merciful, right? Who was gracious, or who is gracious, who is long-suffering, and who is abundant in goodness and truth. So when John tells you in John 1:17, are you in John 1:17? Go back there quickly. You didn't close it, right? Lovely. John 1:17. He now says, for the law was given by Moses. Now, who wrote Exodus? Moses wrote Exodus. So, in Moses' writing just now, did we see God is gracious? Abundant in goodness and what? Truth. So, Moses tells you that God is gracious, abundant in truth and mercy, in goodness, in truth, he's gracious. So, John will read Moses and say, the law was given by Moses. Fine. That law that was given by Moses is that God is full of what? Grace, truth, mercy, goodness. So we correct John 1:17 when he says the law was given. It's not saying to me look as if what Jesus and remember, let's go back a little. John chapter 5, we'll get there shortly, or John 1:45. The Bible tells you that Philip finds Nathanael and says unto Nathanael, behold who Moses in the law and the prophets did write about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So Moses wrote about Jesus. So if you read Moses, and Moses says that the Lord God is full of mercy, full of grace, is gracious, and is full of truth, abundant in goodness and truth, rather, right? Who is he writing about? He's writing about Jesus Christ as the revelation of the Father to man. So you will say, you will not say Moses gave the law. Remember I said we finished in Christ's head with a very interesting conversation. We are under the law. Are we not under the law? We're under the law. I hope you know that. You know, we're not under the law again. No, it's not the law. It's the law. You know, that's why as a Bible student, you don't relegate Genesis to Malachi because that is all Jesus had to teach you what you know today. Everything Paul had as his Bible was Genesis to Malachi. He didn't have Galatians. Now, that leads us to the conversation where we say that Genesis to Malachi is not Old Testament. None of them called it Old Testament. None, including Jesus. Jesus did not write, hey, you know, let's open our Bible to the Old Testament. No. Genesis to Malachi is as much the Word of God as Matthew to Revelation. Because everything taught in Matthew to Revelation was gotten from Genesis to Malachi. The difference is how do you read it? With a heart of unbelief or a heart in full faith and with full faith in Christ Jesus? So Moses did not offer something different from Jesus. So John 1:17 rather reads, the law that was given by Moses. Now we said the law is not the word that speaks about 10 commandments, right? So the doctrine of Moses is that grace and truth will come by Jesus. You get that right? The doctrine of Moses, that is the law into bracket, doctrine of Moses, is that, so Moses taught that you will see the graciousness of God and the truthfulness of God, the goodness of God in the person of Jesus. So when we see Jesus Christ, we see God in the flesh demonstrating goodness, his mercy, abundant in goodness and truth. His mercy is made manifest to mankind. Are we together? That means if you have only Genesis to Malachi, it's enough for you to grow. Dear saints, know God's word well, that even if you can only, even if, you know, there's a teaching I tried to do that into us in this church. Remember that teaching? When I taught for over an hour, 30 minutes without touching Matthew's Revelation. What teaching was that? What series? Who can remind me? It was Salvation series. Right, Salvation series. And I was teaching, and I was in that series, I deliberately made sure that I taught eternal salvation from Genesis to Malachi without mentioning the word Matthew, Mark, Luke, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, and all of that. You must be that good student of God's word that can teach God's eternal salvation from Genesis to Malachi only. You know, now we have an advantage. When somebody tell you, "I don't believe in eternal salvation," you say, "Go to John 3:16. See, it says, for God, the word everlasting." But you have to teach everlasting life from Genesis to Malachi, because everlasting life is a concept from Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? That is why we say there is work to be done. Say there is work. Say we have God's spirit and we will do the work. There is work. There's so much to study than to be doing drama units. There's so much to study that we're doing breakdance units. There's so much to learn. That is why people will never grow. You watch Spider-Man, you go and dream, they are pursuing you. You say, "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor, why is Pastor coming from to have to the effect of Spider-Man?" "Hey, Pastor, all this one you'll be teaching the eternal salvation, eh? This dream I had, you see the way they pursue me. Pastor, even if you see, you will run." So, see, in the real sense, why do you have to get to that point, right, before you know that you ought to understand what God's word really says? So Peter will say, "Thou art the Christ." John will say, "The law of Moses is in the fact," or will be seen as an expression of grace and truth that will come by Christ Jesus. So Moses thought about Christ. Are you here? Look at Hebrews. Hebrews. We're looking at the Antichrist. Look at Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 23. In Hebrews 11, 23. Look at Hebrews 11, 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a what? Proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's what? Commandments." Is that similar to Jesus' life? They had to hide Jesus. Remember that? Right? So beautiful. He now says what? "By faith," 24, "Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Verse 25, flesh with together. 1, 2, 3, go. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin." For 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the..." Who was that esteeming the reproach of Christ? So Moses knew about Christ. Are we together? He says he esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the physical riches or treasures in the house of what? Pharaoh. So it's not difficult to see that. Bible now tells you that Moses gave the law, and his law, which is his doctrine, is that Christ will be the full expression of grace and truth. So it means when Peter says thou art Christ, you need to listen to Peter's Moses to understand Peter's Christ. Did you get that? You ought to listen to Peter's Moses, that is, you ought to listen to Peter's understanding of Moses so that you can understand Peter's understanding of Christ. Did you get what I just said? Let me say one more time. You ought to listen to Peter's Moses, or you ought to listen to what Peter understood from Moses' writings to understand what Peter meant by Christ, or what Peter understands by Christ. Because all of Peter's understanding about Christ would have its foundation in the writings of the scriptures. Are we together? So Moses was a great man. Say, Moses was a great man. He was a great man. The writings of Moses are great books. Look at John 5. John 5, 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Are you there? He says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me. Now look at 45. He says, do not think that I will what? What? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Hold on. Hold on. In verse 39, what is he talking about? Okay, look at your Bibles, everybody. This is an assignment. What is common in verse 39, verse 45, and 46 and 47, rather? What is common in verse 39, verse 46, and 47? Come again. Believe, okay. Look at it again. Believe, okay. What is common? Okay, he's gotten it. He said scriptures, writings, right? 39 says, writing of who? Moses. Right? That's scriptures. So you see, common, you search. So when you read verse 39, can you say you search the scriptures? Would that be you search Moses' writings? But they are they which what? They testify of what? Of me. 46 now says, if you had believed Moses. Now, believing Moses, is he believing Moses as a man? Believing Moses is what? His writings. So if you have believed Moses' writings, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? So it means that fundamental to Jesus' ministry is the fact that Moses wrote about Christ. So it means verse 45 is not as easy as you see it. Because verse 45 seems as though Jesus is accusing Moses for accusing them. It seems as though Jesus is accusing Moses. Brother Sam, quickly come. Let me use as an example quickly. Now, imagine he's Moses. Right? Imagine he's Moses. Right? And I'm Jesus. Right? And I talk to you. And I said, and I say, do not think I will accuse you the Father. What's the next line there? There is one that accuseth you, which is what? In whom ye. Now remember, Moses here is standing for Moses' what? Writings. He now said, if you don't believe him, is what? How shall I believe? Because his writings are about me. So if I say his writings are about me, I cannot now blame him and say he accused you as a person. Did you get what I just said? So, what will be the accusation to them? Moses as a person or his writings? So, his writings will stand against them. Now, the word they accused, we saw it as the word that means kategero. I would say it's a word that means to what? Bring to charge? Or to stand against? Now, we did a quick study that day. We said the word Satan, listen to me carefully. Remember I said it, let me say it again. If you are sleeping, keep sleeping. But when it comes to this conversation about, you know, it's very interesting where we come to church. Sometimes when I just talk about heaven and hell, you know, heaven is not where dead people go to. Some of you, that's the only thing you will take from the whole service. Hey, pastor said there's no heaven again. Oh, right? In Bible language, heaven is not a place used for where dead people go to. It's Sister Choma that used heaven that way. The one that went to heaven and saw people in hellfire because of earring. Why won't you believe it? Why won't you call your members and put LED there and watch it? So what do? You celebrate grace. You say, I went to heaven. Hey, that woman, she won souls. But God says she has to rot in hellfire because she's wearing that which pertains to a man. Trouser, material. Hey, God says she's going to go forever because she was wearing jewelries. Jewelries are made from the coven of witches. If God wanted you to wear earring, why did he not pierce your ear from birth? If they pierce your ear from birth, is that not the dysfunctional? You have a problem now. Imagine you give it to a child and your child came with piercing. You just get him back where it's coming from. I don't know how you do that. Stella. Hey, those of you that are painting your face with, what do you call it, mascara? Is it mascara or mascara? Mascara, okay. You know, you paint your face with mascara, you know, you are trying to create an image of who God did not make you when your mother gave birth to you. And you see the person talking, plaiting hair. Is that, if you want to be the way they want to give it to you, let your hair just be growing. Don't comb it, don't touch it, nothing. Just let it be like that now. Don't even wear clothes. Are we together? So we ought to understand something now. I said all of you to say this. Heaven is not a word used for where dead people go to in scriptures. Are we here? Are we here? Heaven was first used by Moses in Genesis chapter 1, and he said God created heavens and earth, and he was figuratively talking about what? The work of God in the midst of men. So heaven and earth is a figurative expression to talk about the union between God's work and man's work. Are we together? Are we together? Heaven and earth is used. Now, think about it this way. Think about it this way. Bible tells you that heaven is my throne, and the earth is my... What does that really mean? The word there, footstool, is a word used to speak about where authority is displayed. Are we together? Are we together? So God, who is heaven, displays his authority through the works of men on the earth. So when you see heaven and earth, it's a figurative expression to teach about the union between Christ and the church. Same thing used for Satan. The word Satan is the word Satanas. Are you with me right now? Matthew 16, Bible tells you that Peter tells Jesus, hey, don't die, be it far away from you, my Lord and Savior. You cannot die like this. What did Peter, Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. That is, get thee behind me, Satanas. And we said the word there, Satanas, is a word that in the Greek means that which opposes. So he wasn't saying there was a diabolical or demonic power operating in Peter's life. He was simply saying that Peter was opposing what he ought to do. Why? Because Jesus ought to have come to die for the sins of man. But Peter was saying, no, you can't die. How can you die? Die, death be far from you. So in doing that, you are opposing a man on a mission. Are you together? What was his mission? To supply forgiveness of sins to man. That was his mission. So anything against that is what? Opposing. So at that time, you can call Peter the Antichrist. Are you here? Did Jesus call him the Antichrist? Why did I say you can call him the Antichrist? Because Antichrist is a concept, not about a person. Did you get that? Antichrist is about a concept, not about a person. I'll say it one more time. Antichrist is about a concept, not about a person. So that man we are looking for from the book of Revelation. Are you together? That man you are looking for to come and have a rule on the earth for years. No, no, no. Antichrist is a scriptural concept and not a scriptural person. Did you get that? So at the time when you will see Peter opposing Jesus, you can say, so it means that Jesus could have said, get thee behind me, Antichrist. Did you get that? He could have said, get thee behind me, Antichrist. Why? Because the Antichrist will what? Oppose his message. So when you look at Peter's story, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, nothing demonic. You get that? We saw in the book of 1 Timothy as well, when Paul calls Alexandra and, you know, the other guy he mentioned, and he said that what? That you deliver them, or rather, that they be what? Deliver to Satan, that they might learn. Remember that? What is Satan there? Satanas to grow. Turn your Bibles with me quickly. Look at Matthew. Let's look at the scripture I just explained. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you." What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I will die." Are we together? What did Peter say? Now, mind you, listen to me, everyone. Please stop writing. Please stop writing. The conversation of Jesus calling Peter Satan was immediately after Peter said, "You are the Christ." Wait, what chapter are you in? Where did we start reading, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Chapter 16, verse 13. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. What did he say? "Be it far from you, Lord, my Lord." Is that not true? So is that not the Peter he called, "Thou art Peter"? And a few verses after, look at it now, look at it, look at it. Are you there? Look at what he now says. He says, "This shall not be unto you." That means in Peter's understanding of the Christ, he still wanted a place of his heart still wanted him not to die. But Peter did not understand that except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. So whilst Peter would say, "Thou art the Christ," 5 verses after, not even up to 5, he says what? "Be it far away from you, my Lord. Be it far away from you, my Lord." This Peter is a man. No? Let's see how Matthew wrote about Peter. Peter took him, that's the Lord and Savior, and began to what? Rebuke him. He said, "Be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you." Then what did Jesus do? Verse 23, 1, 2, 3, go. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satanas." Are we together? Why? "Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." 5 verses after, he says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So, his mind, you know, you can teach God's word and your emotions are involved in it. Are we together? But a wise student of God knows where to draw the line. That's why a lot of us that say the things we say. People used to bamboozle us that year. They preach the truth in love. I don't know if you have heard those things before. See, God's word in itself is so dynamic that if you want to preach God's word for itself, it will destabilize almost all you've known all your life. And because you are ignorant and you are feeling ashamed. I remember I was teaching a group of people in the UK a few years ago. You know, and one of the ladies looked at me and said, "You know, I always tell you something, right? You can turn every conversation to a teaching of God's word. You just need to learn it." That day I was in the room with those people, about 5 of them or thereabouts. And me, I'm someone you can easily find in the midst of anybody, because I can associate with anybody. You know, we're just talking. I said, "I must preach God's word." I said, "I cannot leave this room without," I was saying it myself, "I can't leave this room without preaching God's word. I must preach God's word." You know, and we just got talking. First 1 hour, first 2 hours, nothing to come into Christ with. I said, "Say, okay, hold on. It's Christ I want to talk now." No. But how did I do it? God now saved them. How did he save them? By allowing them to come up with a conversation on Psalm 46, where our woman in Christ used to go, that God is within her. You don't know that verse? Look at Psalm 46 now. God is within her now. She shall not be what? She shall not be moved though. Are you in Psalm 46? Verse 5. God is in the midst of who? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that what? Rightly early. So guess what happened? She had booked an appointment in Glasgow to go write a tattoo on her chest. I said, "I want to write Psalm 46 on my head." I said, "That is the mistake you made. You mentioned tattoo with God's word. Let's see what the God's word is saying. Is there anything wrong in putting tattoo on your body? Eh? GP? Is there a sin to put tattoo on your body? In terms of individual understanding. But why is he... Wait, who taught you that it's not a sin? So she said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. A lot of women, this is their favorite verse. Are we together? But remember I said something, sonship is not a masculine word. So imagine, I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength, to defend. Is her, is Nigeria a girl? Is Nigeria a feminine country? We've never even had one female president. Talk more of vice president. Of vice president, talk more of president. Are we together? So I pressed the agenda to defend her unity and uphold her honor. Is there in glory? So help. When you say her, there is that feminine? That's the same way it's used there. What's the figure of speech called? Personification. So you need to know who her is from the previous verses. Go back to verse. Let's even just read verse 4. There is a river, and the stream whereof shall make glad the what? The city of God. Is that tantamount to Nigeria in the pledge? Is that similar to where we say Nigeria in our Nigerian pledge? So Nigeria is city of God in verse 4. So can you see, it will not make sense when you say God is in the midst of her. When you mean her in verse 5, you're talking about what? The city of God or Nigeria. Are you here? So there is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of what? Her. Who is the her? City of God. Is that Mount Zion? Is that heavenly Jerusalem? Is that believers, both male and female? Do you get that? She shall not move, for God shall help her. Hebrews, it says, the Lord is my help. Hallelujah. For God shall help her, and that rightly early. So that's talking about believers, but using her as a figure of speech to categorize both male and female her. That's why when I was still woman in Christ, I didn't only say male man and female man. I also said what? Male woman and female woman. Right? There's the male man, there's the female man. Remember, Adam, mankind. Remember that teaching now? Adam, mankind. So Adam, mankind will have a combination of the male man and the female man. Don't stop there, right? That male man can be called the male woman. Why? Because in Christ, there's no gender. Are we together? So God is in the midst of her. So that's what happened that day. God saved them in the midst of her. So she was just saying, I want to go into the... And Bible, just like Philip. Thank God I had read Philip, in Acts 8. He met the Ethiopian eunuch. Bible tells you that Philip, beginning at that scripture, he expounded unto him in all the scriptures. See, how do you know Philip did a good job? At the end of the day, where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from, a lot of things the Ethiopian eunuch was asking as questions were not found in that text. You know what I said? After Peter finished, Philip finished teaching, the guy said, okay, what stops me from being baptized? There's no baptism in that text. It was quoted from Isaiah. It means that Peter or Philip taught about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what did I do? Beginning at Moses, dear saints, I began for 3 hours. 3 hours. They were there. You see, let me tell you something. People are tired of ignorance. You just have to be able to explain God's word to them. People are tired though. You see, they were there. People that I doubt they've ever attended a 1 hour teaching series in their life. So allow them to talk for their first 2 hours, 30 minutes. Then give them a 3 hours exponential. Right? You should be able to take people's scriptures. That's why I said this. You should be able to take people's scriptures and begin to explain God's word to them from there. All together. So what I do is, a lot of times, I'm trying to explain to you that your verse you quote. But I'll tell you, just will you give me time? Just relax. Thank God the lady cooked jollof rice and chicken that day with plantain. So we are eating. Nobody will give excuse of hunger. We are eating in the hostel there. I think it was students' ward, whatever. You know, but we started explaining God's word. And before you know it, what happened? They started asking questions. And what was exciting me was that they were asking questions. Why? Because it means that they were following, and it was questioning what they had taught all their lives. They were all believers. That is how to expound God's word to people. So you will see that in Peter's conversation, whilst he will know the word of truth, whilst he will know about the scriptures, in few verses after, Jesus will say what? Get thee behind me, Satanas. Why? Because Peter was trying to oppose what God's will was. What was God's will? Jesus was to come as a man to die. If Jesus came as a man and did not die, we'll still be in our sins. If Jesus came as a man and he was flogged, he did not die. They took him to the hospital. They took him to the hospital and they used bandage on him. You are still in your sins. If Jesus also died and he did not resurrect, you are still in your sins. But hallelujah, he died and he rose again. He died and he rose again. And he says, whoever believes in that shall never perish. A believer can never lose his salvation. It's totally impossible. It's a slap on God. It's an insult to God. You cannot lose your salvation. It's totally, it's outrightly impossible. It's an impossible impossibility. You can't, because you are not the one responsible for your birth. You didn't give birth to yourself. Your mother gave birth to you. Right? You didn't give birth to yourself in the resurrection. Jesus Christ in the resurrection, you know, he has given us a new heart. We are now what you call born again people. We can never be unborn. Hallelujah. We can never be unborn. For you to lose your salvation, Jesus has to die again and not resurrect. But he resurrected. He's alive. Say he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Say Christ is alive forever. Say his spirit is proof. Say his spirit is proof that I will live forever. So every believer on earth that has the Holy Ghost is born again once and forever. Salvation is once saved, always saved. Once saved, forever saved. Once saved, never to lose your salvation. Irregardless of whatever the world says. The Bible tells you that the Father will give unto me is greater than all. And none can pluck them out of my hands. Nothing can make you lose your salvation. Nothing! 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 Even yourself, you are too small. You can't undo that work on Calvary. You can't. Hallelujah! You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. So, whether they call it vaccine, or Panadol, or Mac, or anything, there is nothing that can make you lose your salvation. It's impossible. You know, they call some of us OSARS. You know what OSARS is? OSARS, once saved, always saved. That's, I mean, proud OSARS. See, when you talk salvation, right, think of God's responsibility, not your responsibility. You are too small. The work has left your hand. It has. We have Christians in the mosque today. We have Christians on Twitter shouting atheists. God is a faithful God that will remain faithful despite your unfaithfulness. You can't beat into that. God is a God that is compassionate about his enemies. Are we together? God is a God that is fully giving to his enemies. He doesn't want his enemy to perish. Bible tells you in Romans 5, while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died. You were an enemy of God when he died for you. Now you now have some other people that are fighting you at your work. You say God should go and fight them. Imagine God answered that prayer of somebody before you. Where will you be? You think you'll be here? Imagine God answers the prayer of enemies dying. There's somebody here who has never offended somebody before. Even in this part of the world, even if you try not to offend, they will push you to offend. If it's not on the car that is in keke, if it's not in keke, it's under the rain, you are trekking. It's not under the trekking, it's when you are driving. So that's when you are driving, for instance, you just move your car, but somebody just tries to push his head. But you know, they don't want to enter, but they want to just make you scared. They just allow the car to go forward, they just press brake. And you just be careful. Unfortunately for you, he's dancing to his music. He will now do it again. You now wind down. Sorry, it's like. We're in a pressured environment. If you don't want to be offended, they will offend you. But Jesus says, he says, the Father has given them to me. And whosoever the Father has given to me, he says, none can pluck them from my hands. Forever in Christ. I'm forever in Christ. I'm forever in Christ. Forever there, perpetually there. You cannot be unborn again. You cannot say, I changed my mind. How? Who are you? Who are you? How many of you can shoot a football? And after you shot the ball is already going. You say, I want to change the mind. How many of you can go to the top of a building? And you climb a 10-story building. Nobody stopped you. You didn't even use this. You used staircase. Your last workout before you want to murder yourself. You climb the staircase, climb. They say there's lift. You say, no, I want to die, I want to die, I want to walk out first. You now get to the 10th floor. You now look down. You step back. So many of you are scared of height. You step down for you, not see Balu, you not see Boyen Blom Blom, you not see Bouncy Castle. At that point, you still have the decision to change your mind. When you put your first leg over the window, you look at the surface here. Look at the surface here. You still have a mind. You still have a decision in your hands to change your mind. Ah, I'm not doing it again. But salvation is such that once you put your leg out and bring second leg out and release yourself, You've left your care. You've left your decision. You've left your authority. You've left the sphere of influence you can have on that decision. He says, none can snatch them from my hands. What does that mean? It means that when you have released yourself, imagine you are now already flying. I'm not doing it again, no? And you are jumping down. Ninth floor, 10th floor, 7th floor, 6th floor. I'm not doing it again. What does I'm not doing again have to do with what you have done? You've left the influence of your authority. You are now in God's care. Forever. Forever. Your I'm not doing it again is a figure of speech for your unfaithfulness. Did you get that? You are not doing it again is a figure of speech for your giving up. But despite your give up, you are in that journey. 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 And that journey, now remember, that journey is an eternal journey. That I use 10 step, 10 level story doesn't mean salvation one time you get to the floor. No, it's forever. You are there. You cannot not do again. You cannot not do again. It's impossible. It's impossible to now think there is something. That one man will create. You say COVID is how to, COVID is the work of the enemy. Have we not started living with COVID now? Don't hold service now. COVID is they are ganging up. It's not today they started ganging up. You see, they are planning from China. They want to infuse, which infuse? How many of you are vaccinated here? Let me see your hands. Okay, some of you are not vaccinated. You are scared. You are scared. The vaccine has finished. That's not true. Why did you wait till it finished? The vaccine has finished. You allowed the vaccine to finish. And I said, that will be your testimony. It has finished. No, why did you wait? How dare you insult God? That liquid metal made on earth. Liquid. They will inject it in your body and you will lose the Holy Ghost in you. It's an insult to the work of the Creator. It's an insult to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an insult. It's no greater insult. How can God tell you, I've put my spirit within you? My spirit is in you as a seal forever. And one injection, one needle that cannot speak in tongues. You now have another set of interesting people who cannot take medicine because they are healed. I hope you know there's a difference between faith of confession of faith and confession of stupidity. I hope you know there's a difference. You can take medicine and God's power is still working in you. You can! We have people who have lost their lives in their thousands because the pastor said they must not take drugs. If you don't know, I know plenty. So people don't, you know, some people don't do, is it what you call it? Is it transfusion or division? What do you call it? Division. People don't do transfusion. Why? Because they say their blood is blood of the Holy Ghost. And a pastor said they should not put needle in their body. No other blood can enter their body. People have lost their children. They've lost their lives because of those very irrational, ridiculous conversations. Why? There's Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. These are signs. Let me tell you. Even Jesus has said he's coming back soon. 2,000 years has passed. What is soon? God's will is that all men be saved. God wants men to be saved in their billions. First, they thought it was Osama at first. No, they first thought it was, what was this man? Adolf Hitler. Before Adolf Hitler, there was one. Is it Napoleon Hills? No. Napoleon Hills, see? They first said it was Napoleon Hills. They now say it was no. After that one died. Next one, they said it was Adolf Hitler. That one too died. They started looking for the next person. They say it was Osama. They killed that one too. They killed Antichrist. they caught Antichrist in his room and killed Antichrist. After they failed, before you know it, some people came out and started saying it was Obama. Obama. And you know the funny thing? You know they proved it from scriptures. We went to Zechariah. We went to Hosea. We went to Zephaniah. And they say it's Obama. Obama came. Obama left power. Who's the next person now? Okay, they say it's Trump. All together. Next person now, they will say it's this guy that is in Russia. Putin. And somebody will say, can't you see his hair? If you see his hair, it's only folding at this side. It's the one that is about to come out. People, you are laughing. People will believe it. How somebody just want the world to just be destroyed like this? That's Antichrist. May they not call you Antichrist. So there is so much damage this taught, this teaching. That's why I'm giving today as an introduction. There's so much damage that these teachings have they've done to the hearts of men. They've done to the heart of men very terrible things. Oh, people now live in the bondage of fear. Some of you now, you've reduced your passion to want to be to grow in your career because they say the world might soon end. It's true. Oh, see, I hear testimony. So you're not saying that one should not be under my influence. You not allow him to continue that way. You know, if he doesn't make plans for his career, he might be worse than where he is right now in the next 10 years. If he doesn't make plans because he's trying to live a lackadaisical life because the trumpet might soon sound, he might be worse in the next 10 years. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Ahead of 1990, some people started selling their house and their car. Where are we now? 2022. The journey is still going. The journey is still going. Some of you want to just hear they are fighting day. Hey, Antichrist, they are coming close. Oh, day. It's not that Kubwa. Somewhere in your heart, you know, the only way you get a, instead of you to get a reassurance from God's word, the only reassurance you have is that, okay, before they come to you, I won. They will first pass Mubwa. They will pass Dawaki. They will pass, I mean, we are leaving Dawaki before you. That's the thing, we'll move from Dawaki. We are now further. We are now closer to God now help you. That's not the Maraba. You move out of Dawaki. You say, Pastor, no, that environment is just peaceful. It's fear that is pushing you. It's fear. Small noise like this. Hey, Lord of Jesus. Have they come? Where are they? Some of you, if they rob your neighbor, you can't sleep for 1 week. The message of the gospel is not fear-driven. To prove you've heard the gospel, it comes with the message. It comes with peace. Any message you hear that troubles your heart. Guess what I said? Troubles your heart. It's a message of peace. It's a message of God's goodness. God's loving kindness. The journey is still far. No, the journey is still far. The journey is still far. The journey is still far. That is why take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Take care of your health. There is work ahead. Anyways, this word is even coming to an end. Why am I taking? Why am I eating? I bet good is in feed farm. Let's just be eating anyhow. Just eat anyhow. Just open your mouth. Zoom, 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 zoom. Everything inside. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Spark with rice. Mix it together. You put plantain in the middle. Then put zobo to wash it down. How's Love Feast yesterday? Who won that match? Eh? So what was the final score? But it wasn't group one, group two like we started. Okay. So what's the final score? 1-0. I heard some ladies played and played well yesterday. Oh, she's all gitchy. Wow. Come, let me lay hands on your leg. Are you even coming? Next morning, just is all gitchy. Falcons. She has joined Falcons, Super Falconets. He said, I jog you on the fish. He's not coming for church again. It's not my nothing that will push you away from church. But it was beautiful to hear that she played well. That's lovely. She actually did a very nice meal yesterday. Okay, but your meal is very good. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Jesus Christ in the resurrection will come with that which is full of peace and that which is full of an assurance. When you hear the gospel, it should reassure you of what you have and who you are. Every meeting you leave God's palace with should reassure you of the fact that you are born again forever. You are saved forever. You will not always have perfect men amongst the local assembly. But we have a perfect God who has done a perfect work for imperfect men. And once a man receives it, he's been snatched from sin and then from the bondage of fear. That's why we now sing, we are no longer slaves to sin. Right? We are children of the Father. And we're together. So, I want all of that to just pass the message of good Bible study and Bible teaching. Now, we're talking about the accusation of Moses in John 5 when he says that, and Jesus says that, I have not come to accuse you, but Moses is the one they accused. And now, we said the word the katagero is the word that speaks about that which is to bring a charge. Remember that? to bring a charge. Satanas is the one that opposes. I took on Satanas to say that when you hear the word Satanas, it's not always a negative thing. So for instance, 1 Corinthians 5, the Bible tells you that Paul was saying that, Kai, I heard that there's a kind of fornication in your midst that is not even found amongst unbelievers. What was the fornication? A man was sleeping with his father's what? His father's wife. And he said what? I declare to you to deliver such a one to Satan. Right? And we said that Jesus delivered us from the bondage of Satan. How can you now say, you this church, oh, you see this brother, his own sin is more. Let's not talk it. Let's not debate about it. This is sin is much. Right? Just take him and deliver him to Satan. No, the Satan they were to deliver him to in that context was who? The church. So they were to deliver him to Satan. So it means that, did I say Satan is the church? Did I say the church is Satan? Hope you heard what I said. If you are sleeping, keep sleeping. Hey, pastor, say the church is Satan. Hey, pastor, say the church is Satan. I knew it was Antichrist. Yeah, so the Satanas in that context that they were to deliver such a brother to was what? The church. So what were they to do to tackle that? They were to separate themselves from him so that in his isolation, he learns that he's not behaving himself like them. So when he sees that, he begins to correct his mind. That's why you see 1 Timothy now tells you that he might learn. Right? You know that can only happen in a godly church. Sila. You know. Brasha, we ask you now and say how to divide it to Satan. I say, church is Satan. I say, everybody, this is what Brasha Shogun did, though. I'm standing there. You know, we'll see him again. It's every Sunday they invite him for church meeting. Book balance in his office. Right? But in the real sense, the goal was so that the man who is delivered to Satan, that is opposition. That means the figure of speech that Paul will say delivered to Satan is just saying, oppose that brother. That means oppose his bad conduct. That means stand against his bad conduct. That's delivered to Satan. Who was going to stand against his bad conduct? So the church was Satan in that context. You get that? Get behind me, Satan. So the same thing with accusation. So when Jesus now says that Moses accused you, it means Moses' writings brings a charge against you. Not that Moses was saying you don't believe. No. So because of their unbelief, right, there is a record against them that will be found in the writings that Moses already wrote. So Moses' writings will be the accusation that Jesus speaks about. That's why he now tells you, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So Moses' writings was accusing or pointing as accusations to them or for their unbelief. So you see, Peter tells you that, he says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this, just now says, upon thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He now says, upon this, thou art Peter, upon this rock, I will what? Build my church at the gates of hell. Now we said that to understand building of the church, you need to understand the writings of the church from the writings of Moses. Now that's what we started talking about Genesis 28, where you see that Jacob fell into a deep sleep. We'll continue on Wednesday. Right? Jacob fell into a deep sleep. Into a sleep rather. And what happened? He saw what? Angels descending on a ladder. Are we together? Genesis 28. Bible now tells us that when he woke up, he says, oh, I didn't know that God was in this place. What did Jacob do? He took anointing oil. We'll look at that on Wednesday. And poured oil. No, let me not say anointing oil. Are we together? Anointing oil is not a name of a device, of a product. Eh? Goya is the same as what? Olive. And the same as the one you use to fry plantain. What do you call granite oil? Yeah, any of the oils you pick, either red or anything, it is because you use it for anointing. That's why it's called anointing oil. So what did Jacob pick? Jacob picked oil and anointed the place. Now we said that word anointed is the word that has the root word for the word Mashiach, which is Messiah, which is Christos the anointed. Right? So what did Jacob see in that dream? He saw the Bethel. He called the place Bethel. Calling from the word Bayit Elohim, which is what? The household of what? God. That's Christ and the church. Are we here? Are we going to? We'll look at that on Wednesday and take it a step further. So in the real sense, when you see Peter says, thou art the cross, and thou art the Christ, rather, there's a root of that conversation in Genesis 28. Because what did Jacob see? That the seed of God will have an inheritance of the land. And in the real sense, that seed will reproduce himself. That's why Galatians now tells you that what? The seed spoken about to Abraham is the seed as of one, not as of what? Many. Then we now said something in our study. We said that what? The seed will first be singular, then plural. And the seed or the anointed will have kings and what? Priests. Let's look at that again and take it a step further. On Wednesday, right, I'm explaining. We just gave an introduction today to make us understand a proper overview of the word Christos, the anointed, and his anointing. So do well to pay attention to this series and keep following up with the teaching, keep following up with the series, and keep following up with the teaching and the series, and you would have a better understanding of who the Christ is and who the Antichrist is. Are we together? So don't bother looking for that man who is going to be the Antichrist. For you see, this is no utterance. The Antichrist is in the earth already. Hallelujah. I'll say one more time. The Antichrist is in the earth already. The Antichrist is in the earth already. So we're not waiting for any Antichrist from any other planet. Are we together? Yeah, don't think of devil trying to build his greatest monster. And that's why it's taking time. So it's taking him 2,000 years to build that monster. Now finish, you see one crown here, I'll be one horn here. You say, no, this one should bend like this. So it's to fear them. No, no, no. Let me say this as well. God's reign is found amidst men on the earth. That's a lot to unfold. God's reign is found amidst men on the earth. So how do you know what God is doing on the earth? You see his men and what they are doing on the earth. So it means that how do you know what the devil is doing on the earth? You would as well see his men. Are we together? And what they are doing on the earth. So when you see a message or a doctrine that seems to oppose what Jesus or God is doing on the earth, that is the Antichrist. So were there Antichrists from Jesus' time? So it means that none of the disciples of Jesus anticipated a man. Are we together? Paul never anticipated a man. There's some scriptures like that we'll look at in 1 Thessalonians. I hope I can cover that teaching in this series, because there's a very dicey scripture in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I've really summarized Antichrist for you, right? Have I? I have really. If you don't get it, don't forget about it. Keep listening. Bow your heads and let's pray.